The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Good morning, everyone. We gather here at the Lord's table in the season of Pentecost when we remember God's gift of His Holy Spirit to the church. And it's my prayer that today as we gather at the Lord's table, that that same Spirit will be with us today to make real the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and to assure us of the truth of His promises. All of these things, as real as the bread and wine, we will touch and taste. A special welcome to any visitors who are with us this morning, and we do pray that if you so feel moved to do so, that you will share with us the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. And tea and coffee will be served in the large hall afterwards, where we gather for further fellowship. But let's now worship God together as we sing, O God, You search me and You know me. These are the words of the psalmist who says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let us pray. God, our Father, we gather as a people who so often feel the weight of our living in the things we have to do, in the people who demand so much, in the failure we often experience. We long for a new lightness of spirit, a clear way through the clutter of our busyness, and a sense of Your presence through every challenging experience. So help us to learn from the ancient people who knew where their help came from, the maker of heaven and earth whose strength comes in weakness, whose purpose is renewed in the midst of despair, and whose forgiveness comes in the teeth of guilt. We thank You, Father, that by Your grace all of this is possible for us as we gather at the table of our Lord. And we pray that You would so lift our eyes to see Him, that once more we would know His love and know His peace. Amen.
We'll continue with our worship by singing our prayer of understanding, which we will sing sitting down. That's hymn 604, Holy Wisdom, Lamp of Learning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Philippians chapter 1, looking at verses 1 through to 11. Which can be found on page 1178 of the Pew Bibles. That's Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through to 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. And may God bless to us this reading from his holy word. Well, good morning, boys and girls. I can see you're all spread out a little bit today, but it's good to see you all. Now, who could tell me what is special about today? Is it today a special day? Yes. It's Communion Sunday. Well done. And I'm very pleased you said that first. And I think Fergus will be as well. And what else is today a special day for some people? Yeah. It's Father's Day. It is. It's Father's Day. So Father's Day is a day when we remember our dads and those special men in our life. And sometimes on Father's Day, we like to show our dads and those special men in our life that we love them. Did anyone do that this morning? Yes. What did you do for your daddy this morning? Did you do something nice? What did you do?
I gave him a present.
You gave him a present. Oh, that was nice. That was a lovely thing to do. Did anyone else do anything? What did you do, Abigail? You got a card. Oh, lovely. Well, I'm very, very blessed today because I have my dad in the service. And I'm going to invite Daddy Bowie to come down. Would you mind? He's going to run down the aisle. And I also know there's lots of other dads in the service. And I know that, where is he? He's hiding. Where's David? Oh, there he is. I've spotted you. Now, I know David is a dad to Emma and Bethany and David. So would you come out the front as well? Now I have to say, Ian, this is Daddy Bowie, he has three daughters, I'm the middle one. So he's got Gillian, myself and Ruth. And is Daddy Stephen around? Right, come down. And Stephen obviously has Samuel, Kieran and Malachi. Would anyone else like to volunteer their dad to come up the front? All right, come up, Daddy Bates. Come on. Now, I'm going to ask all the dads one question. And I'm going to remind myself what that question is. Oh, that's it. It's a very simple question. How do you know that your children love you? So how do you know that your children love you? You can have a think about it. I'm going to go straight to David.
Well, I've always known that my children loved me because they almost always did what I told them to do. And I know that they love me now because they expect me to do what they tell me to. And David, my son, who is taller than me and stronger than me and cleverer than me, will just say, "Dad, I'll do it." And my daughter Emma gives me cuddles.
No.
And she sorts my medicine and reminds me to take it. And before I go out, she'll say, "Have you got your glasses? Have you got your notes? Have you got your pen? Have you got your watch? Have you got your car keys?" And she just loves me. And I can see it in her face.
Oh. Okay, Daddy Bowie. I'll top that one. How do you know that your children love you? Be brief.
Well, can I be associated with the last remarks? I think I know that they love me because they tell me, they write it down, and they remind me constantly.
Well done. Stephen, how do you know that you are loved?
I know that I'm loved when I see the welcome that I get when I come home from work. I get a big smile. Big cuddle from at least one of the boys. The other two are normally a grunt, but I can see it in their eyes when they give me a welcome when I come home from work.
Oh, that's a lovely answer as well. Daddy Bates, how do you know that you're loved by your children?
I think it's because they cuddle me a lot. They don't want me to go to work in the morning.
Aww.
And they're very happy when I come home in the evening.
Oh, thank you. Let's give all the dads a round of applause. Thank you. Well, another way that dads know that they are loved is that we know all about our dads. Who knows all the things about their dads? Who knows what your dad likes and what they dislikes? Who knows what makes them happy and what makes them grumpy? So when we come to know our dads, when we love them really well, we know all about them and we know what they like. And you know what? This is what God wants from all of us, not just the dads. God wants from all of us for us to come and know him, because the more we know about God, the more we can experience God's great love for us. And when we experience God's great love for us, then we know all the plans that he has for our life, and our love continues to grow for all those people in our family and our friends and in our community. So we want to come and know God for ourselves. So we're going to finish our little talk just now with Abigail Bates, who's going to come up and she's going to lead us in a short prayer.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for being our loving Heavenly Father. We thank you for the love you show to all your children. We thank you too that we can learn more and more about your great love for us through Jesus. May your examples of love be shown by all fathers here today, and may your blessing be upon them and all whom they love. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Thank you, Abigail. That was read beautifully.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're now going to sing our next hymn, which is hymn 611, Holy Spirit, Fill Our Hearts, Overflowing with Love. Let us pray. Lord, as we come to look more closely at your word to us this morning, we pray that you will stay near to us. Help us by your Spirit to discern what you are saying to our hearts and our minds. And may we grow in our understanding of your great love for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last year I watched a film called The War Room. And in this film, an older, more mature Christian lady senses that a younger Christian woman is under a lot of stress. And so she asks her how her prayer life is. Well, the younger woman replies that it's okay. She is neither on fire for God or cold. She prays to God when she remembers to. The more mature Christian woman then goes off to make coffee for them both, but makes the younger woman's coffee lukewarm. Her point: a lukewarm Christian isn't really good for anything, just like a lukewarm coffee isn't the tastiest. A lukewarm prayer life is not going to help us grow in our faith or influence any of the challenges we experience in our daily life. And in this film, this encounter helps the young Christian woman to discover a passion for prayer. And her life starts to be transformed. In today's passage, Paul offers a prayer for spiritual growth for his beloved friends at the church in Philippi. And let's just hear his prayer again. Verse 9 to 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to visualise this for me. Imagine you're at a prayer meeting, and the Apostle Paul is also at this prayer meeting. And the leader of the prayer meeting begins by asking us all for prayer requests. So someone says, "My sister is going travelling. Please pray for her." Someone else says, "My friend is enduring stressful family situation. Please pray for him." Another person says, "My mother is going in for surgery in a week's time. Could the church please pray for her?" And then Paul's hand goes up and the leader calls on him. Paul says, "Can we pray that everyone in this church will experience Christ's love more in their life? That their knowledge of Christ's love grows to help them make wise choices, and that they will understand how they can best display Christ's love for one another." Can you see how differently Paul prays than often that we pray? And yes, I think it's okay that we pray for our physical needs, but sometimes maybe we stop too quickly and forget to pray for the growth of God's love and abundance in our own lives and in the lives of others. Do you regularly pray for your own spiritual growth? Are you praying for the spiritual growth of those within our church? If not, perhaps we too need to pray like Paul. So Paul loved his church family in Philippi and he wanted the best for them. And this is why he wrote this loving pastoral letter. And this is why he prayed for them. He wanted to see his friends develop their faith and grow in their ability to understand and to experience Christ's love. And then to display this love to one another. And like the Philippians, we can use Paul's prayer to deepen our own spiritual relationship with God. So we're going to look at Paul's prayer in a bit more depth. Firstly, Paul prays that the Philippians' love will overflow in knowledge and depth of insight. Paul wants the Philippians' love to overflow in knowledge. And the word he uses is epignosis, and is one that he tends to use for the full knowledge of God. This is not perhaps how we often think of love. We are often tempted to make a distinction between love which belongs to the emotions and knowledge which is intellectual. But for Paul, they're all bound together. Paul does not separate what we call the heart from what we call the head. So such a love is not content to sit and admire the beloved, but wants to know him fully, to understand and explore him. When you love someone, you want to know that person inside out. If you're married, you have an intimate knowledge of your partner. And if you have a loving father, you want to know him, what he likes and what he dislikes, what makes him smile, gives him joy, and brings life. True love wants to know the beloved, to explore his interests, to know his mind, to become interested in what interests him. As we get to know Father God, we grow in our love for him. And our love grows so much that we want to share that love with everyone, inside and outside the church. Love really is everything. For God is love. God loved us so much that even though we are sinners, he sacrificed his son on the cross so that we could be reconciled to him to spend eternity with him. Because love is everything, Paul prays for it to keep developing and growing. No matter how much love we have, our ability to love like God loves can always increase. For God's love is unending. In God there is always more. So the second point of Paul's prayer is that the Philippians would be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. By praying for the Philippians to discern what is best, this is life with God. Paul is opening them up to God's abundance. But who struggles here with knowing what the best option is when faced with a choice? Or what the right thing to do is in a very difficult situation? We face choices every day, especially how much time we spend deepening our relationship with God. How much time, if any, do we spend witnessing to someone about the gospel? How much time do we spend reading Christian literature that will help our understanding of the Bible or improve our spiritual discipline? How much time do we spend in prayer, in our reading and study of the Bible to improve our knowledge of God so that our worship of God might grow in spontaneity, devotion, and true joy? How much time do we spend stepping outside our comfort zone, living and serving others despite the cost? We face these choices every day. And the choices we make will either bring us closer to God's love or keep him on the outskirts of our life. I don't know about you, but quite often I make choices that I instantly regret. Sometimes the decisions and choices I make are not for God's glory. And these choices can inflict feelings of guilt and regret. But guilt doesn't help us in our spiritual growth. But prayer does. What Paul is saying here is very encouraging. The more we pray for our love and knowledge of Jesus to grow, the more we will be able to discern the right choices for our lives. For the right choices spring from a heart transformed by God's grace. Let us therefore follow Paul's example and let us pray every day that our love and knowledge of Christ to grow in us so that we can make the right choices that lead us to a life lived fully with God. And our prayers need to be passionate and not lukewarm. And this leads into Paul's last prayer point, that the church in Philippi may be filled to overflowing with the fruit of right living. To get a better understanding of what this actually means, I'm going to read verses 9 and 11 out again, but this time I'm going to read from the Message translation, which is the Bible written in more contemporary language. So this is Paul's prayer again, verses 9 to 11. So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You will need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life circumspect and exemplary. A life Jesus will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. So what does being filled to overflowing with the fruit of righteousness look like? Let me give you an example. Have you ever been in the presence of someone that just seems to be glowing for God's glory? When they speak, their eyes shine bright and their voices lift and they are joyful. And they seem just to be radiating the love of Jesus. And it makes you want to have that joy for yourself, to experience that love too. It's contagious. Well, I encountered this the first Sunday I came here taking up my role as probationary minister. I'm not going to embarrass the person by naming them, but it was such a joy to be in their presence. And I now know that this person did not have this demeanour because they were blessed with a carefree life, a life free from worry, pain and suffering. They had this aura or demeanour not due to their circumstances, but because they knew and because they understood the love of their Lord and Saviour. The joy of the Lord was their strength, a joy that came from knowing the love of God, a joy tied to salvation in Christ alone, and a joy that results in the fruits of righteousness, a joy that is contagious and leads others to the Lord. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, let's now passionately pray Paul's prayer for God's love to grow abundantly in our lives and that of our church. Let us pray. Loving Father, we pray that our love for Christ may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best for ourselves and our church, in order that we may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. We'll continue now with our worship by bringing our offerings to God.
God, our Heavenly Father, we lift up our hearts to praise you that you are a loving Heavenly Father, and from your hand so many blessings flow for your people. And we thank you today for everything that makes us strong, but especially for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and his Spirit who is with us today to assure us of forgiveness, to give us a vision of renewal in our lives, and to affirm once again our place in the eternal kingdom. So bless each one of us as we make our offering today, and enable us by your grace to make our response the only reasonable response to our Heavenly Father, which is thankful and committed lives for the sake of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Friends, before we sing our communion hymns, there's just one or two notices that I'd like to share with you. Now, I'm very sorry about this, but for the past couple of weeks, I've been telling the world that the summer praise service in Mulgay will take place in the United Free Church. That is not the case. It will take place in Allender Evangelical Church tonight at 7 p.m. And as penance, I'm going to turn up at the United Free Church and redirect everybody who might. It's not a long journey, and So there we go. Can I also say that sign-up sheets are available at the back of the church for the forthcoming holiday club. And can I remind you also of the presbytery service, which will be taking place here in St. Paul's on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. It will see the installation of one of our elders, Grace Rogerson, as moderator of the presbytery. And of course, you're all very warmly invited to attend. And can I also say that the Benevolent Fund boxes are at the back of the church as you leave, as always, on Communion Sunday. Now, this is a new hymn that we are about to sing now as we approach the Lord's table. And Derek will play a verse completely. I think it's an easy enough hymn for us to pick up. But we will remain seated after the playing and go back to the beginning and sing, "Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away." We'll sing this together and then rise, as is our custom, to sing "Ye Gates." The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Please sit down. Friends, as we've heard this morning, it's so important, if we are committed to practicing Christian love, that we have embraced Christian truth. That was uppermost in the mind of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to another very early Christian community in Corinth, because in so many ways they had departed from the traditions that he had established in that place for their growth in Christian love, especially with regard to their worship. Changes needed to be made. And so Paul wrote to this community, and he sought to bring them back to the solemnity of the upper room when Jesus first broke bread and shared a cup to enable his followers down through the generations to remember him. And Paul wrote these words to these Christian people. He said, "I have received from the Lord the teaching that I passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a piece of bread. And after he had given thanks to God, he broke the bread and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, 'This cup is God's new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.'" And Paul says that every time we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so we now do, as Christians have done through the generations. We now do as Jesus has commanded us, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and wine, we take this bread and this wine to be set apart from ordinary use, so that we can use them in this sacred meal. And in the same way that Jesus gave thanks to God, let us now draw near to our Heavenly Father and offer our prayers of thanksgiving and praise. Let us pray. Almighty God, today we come to you as the Father who has brought the universe into being and breathed life into every living creature. The Father who has created for his children through all the generations and cared for them. The Father who could not abandon his children even in our fall away from you, but out of love provided for us a Saviour, your Son and our Lord, Jesus, who became one of us, who shared our limited flesh and psychology, and who died to pay the price for our sin, and rose again to reign with you in the eternal kingdom. We praise you that it is from that place of glory that the promised Spirit was sent to be our comforter, our guide, and our companion through all the experiences of life. And we praise you that because of this Spirit today, we can experience your presence. We can realize the cost of our salvation. And once again embrace the forgiveness, the renewal of life, and the hope of resurrection which you have provided for us. So we pray that you would come to us now, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in your completeness, and enable us to be completely yours, trusting in the Father's ways with his children, following in the footsteps of the Son in his life and in his sacrifice, and living in the power of the Spirit for our growth and our witness. We pray that as we are bound together in the sharing of bread and wine, that we would be truly united in our desire to cherish your truth, to aspire to your standards for living, and to show your love for one another. Make us a people who are assured of our Father's love, who are shaped by our Savior's sacrifice, and who are enlivened by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray all of this in the name and for the sake of Jesus our Lord, and ask that you would hear us now as together we say his prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we share this bread and this wine because Jesus himself has commanded us to do so. On the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, and after he had given thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is God's new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." Take this bread and eat it. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of him. And take this cup and drink from it. This is God's new covenant, sealed in the blood of Christ, which was shed so that the sins of the world might be forgiven. Do this in memory of him. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. God our Father, we rejoice today that in the midst of all the changes which can happen in our personal lives, in the midst of all the tragedies that might befall upon our nation, in the midst of the uncertainty that we see in the wider world, that we can depend upon your presence with us, that we can be assured that your good and loving purpose is going forward and will not be delayed. So we thank you today in these symbols of bread and wine that we have experienced our Lord's presence, that once again we have been touched by His truth, that we can now go forward as a people refreshed in mind and in spirit to play our part in the transformation of Your creation. So help us, Lord, to have eyes that see the need, to have hearts that can connect with the need, to have a will that seeks to take people forward in our loving embrace. And we pray all of this in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, as the elements are being taken from the church, we will sing. We will remain seated and sing, "Now let us from this table rise." But together we will now sing, "Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught be all else to me, save that Thou art." And now may we go together in anticipation of the joys of the eternal kingdom and the blessing of God Almighty. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forevermore.